Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And more people are going out because more and more rules have been relaxed because the pandemic is more under control now than it has ever been in the past. And this is really good news. Mother's Day, just this Mother's Day, just think about the progress that we've made since last year. Remember, a lot of you couldn't take mothers out anywhere. Couldn't take the mother in your life, whether it's your wife or your girlfriend or your mother or mother-in-law. Couldn't bring these people out because there was no places to go. Well, now you can. And I would assume that places are just going to be packed again on Sunday. And it's going to be a beautiful day today and tomorrow. In fact, yesterday was such a nice day. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I decided to do my weekly grocery shopping because I have a wedding to go to tonight. So I can't do it tonight. Saturdays is just too much of a mess. So I've learned if I can avoid Saturdays, it's smart. And since the president had been at the airport and traffic in Metairie was all tied up, I decided to go to Rouse's in Slidell. That's a nice big Rouse's off Gauze Boulevard. That's a beautiful Rouse's. And I'm sure you can relate to this. When you go to the store that you're used to going to all the time, you know right where everything is. And I keep my list in my head. And I see stuff, and I know where it is, and I go get it. But, you know, when you're walking around a store, you don't know where anything is. I kept thinking that I was forgetting something. I'm sure I did. But anyway, that was fun. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I missed being in the traffic of that shooting on the I-10 near Oak Harbor exit, on the I-10 on the other side of the Twin Spans heading east. I missed that by just a couple of moments because I saw police arriving on the scene. And I didn't know what had happened until I got home and heard that there was a shooting. But we're not going to get into that too much this afternoon because it is a beautiful, beautiful Friday. Sunday is Mother's Day, so we've got some great Mother's Day music planned for you today on the show as our bumper music. And a little bit later, we're going to do a text-off. Who was the sexier mom? And I've got two choices for you. You know, different ends of the spectrum. Two choices. And I think we can add that to the conversation today. I do it every year. It's fun to talk about it. You know, we were all exposed to moms growing up. My life recently has been so controlled by news cycles and things to talk about on the show that I don't watch a lot of new TV shows. Are there any new sexy moms that have been on television in the last few years? Are there any sexy moms on TV shows? The mother on the show, the Goldbergs, I forget her name. I think she was one of the people who was in Reno 911. She's pretty sexy. Actually, she's very sexy, if it is the right person I'm thinking about. But if you can think about a modern-day TV mom, I'd love to hear about it. And also, who is the sexiest TV mom in your opinion? And, of course, it's Free for All Friday. And the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. So a couple of things to run over here very quickly. President Biden is being criticized because he failed to mention God in his National Day of Prayer declaration. Now, Joe Biden goes to church every week, right? Do you think Joe Biden doesn't know about God? I don't know. It seems like when you talk sometimes in a situation like this, God is implied. Now, there were other presidents who really went out of their way to say God a lot. Maybe it's because in their own mind, they realized how distant they were from God, so they felt like they needed to bring it up a lot. Maybe Joe Biden didn't. I don't know. Also, Joe Biden apparently snapped back at a reporter. A reporter today asked him, "You walk out to the podium with your mask on. Why do you choose to wear a mask so often when you're vaccinated and you're around others who are vaccinated?" And President Biden said, "Because I'm worried about you." And then he said, "No, that's a joke. It's just a joke." Now, I can't think of any president in modern times that ever said something and then later said, "Oh, that was just a joke." I just can't think of one. So maybe Joe Biden is the only one. And also, there's a giant sequoia tree in California that is still burning from last year's huge wildfire in a national park. This giant sequoia tree is still smoking. And it just goes to show you that sometimes it's hard to even get trees to quit smoking. Here is our WWL opinion poll. It's on our website right now. What is the best community to live in? Downtown, suburbs, rural, or virtual? And you can give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. Let's go to Tom in Slidell. Hey, Tom, happy Friday. Welcome to our show. Okay. All right, let's go to Charles, who is in New Orleans. Hey, Charles, welcome.
How you doing?
I'm good.
I wanted to try and seek, and I'm not going to try and change anybody's mind on how they feel about people that prosper from taking cases involving cops on black men crime, so to speak.
Okay.
But I'm going to make this clear. There are those who believe that many people do it for popularity or for profit when they get themselves involved in that kind of situation. But as being a black American, we are all tired of black-on-black crime in our neighborhoods. And I had all the thoughts while I was waiting on hold, and I don't know if I can get it all out, but we see the same thing that those people see that's evidence to us now, that we have clear evidence by the record button on our phones that we can tell that this happened and it's not a lie and it's real. You know, when you see somebody, like a cop, kneel on somebody's neck for 9 minutes and 27 seconds, that's nothing that's made up.
And we and we know what happened to that cop.
People, hold on. We hold these people to higher standards than the average thug. Now, we know there's been thugs for many, many years in history. There's been all type of thugs and all different type of ethnic groups. But we hold people that we train with our tax dollars to a higher standard. And so we can't be misled to believe that there's not going to be crime in our area. There's going to be crime because there are those who are going to do those things, and there's almost nothing that we can do. There's something that we can do, but when we pay our tax dollars and we have officers and police that are trained to serve and protect and to make an arrest without having to take a person's life unjustly, then, you know, that's what it is. And so we can't kid ourselves and lie to ourselves that didn't happen.
Well, I don't know who you think is kidding themselves. I mean, we talk about that all the time on the show, and the police officer who was involved in putting his knee on the neck of George Floyd is in prison.
Those who believe that those famous people are those people who are doing this to make money or profit from that.
That's
no,
true.
They have the platform to say more about it than somebody like I do. Even though I'm tired of crime in my own area, I don't know what else that I can see on my platform that
this is to me, this is
to believe that people are just doing it for the profit. That's not true. Now, I don't believe that they're not just doing it for profit, but I also believe that they're doing it because they see some type of injustice.
There's no question that there's an injustice, but they pick the injustice that's going to give them money and power. And look, when the settlement in the George Floyd case, when the settlement is $27 million, and when attorneys take maybe 40, 50%, maybe even more than that in some of these pro bono cases, with a pro bono in the beginning, this is a big moneymaker. However, that does not diminish the injustice that took place. And so there should be justice there. But you can't be happy with the proportion of black lives that are taken by black lives every day in this city and around the country. I mean, you can't be comfortable with that. And yet the high-powered people who have a voice and could manifest change, they don't address that as much.
Somebody's comfortable with that. That's not also the case. Nobody's comfortable. All the years that I've been living, I've been seeing that there's been crime and there's been criminals and there's been thugs. And it's not only that didn't just start happening. There are those who are not going to do the right thing to earn their keep. But at the same time, we're not comfortable with that. You know, and those people that are in the position to say something about that are probably doing other things in the background. But what takes front interest is, or what takes the front of it, is when they see them in the media saying something about cases that we know that are obviously, you know, that's an injustice. Like, when we expect higher from people who hold positions.
Well, Charles, I expect more from police officers, too, in the same way that when it comes to, you know, sexual assault and sexual harassment, we expect more from priests. So, you know, there are certain people in our society, and we expect more from them, and police officers among them. I understand that. But the frequency of shootings and the frequency of black deaths at the hands of black people is becoming a bigger problem than it once was. I mean, I've been living a while. You know, I've been paying attention to this for a while. And just because I'm white doesn't mean that I don't have a keen sense of what happens in the world. And I think it's just really sad that there are people who live in neighborhoods when every day they hear gunshots. And that's not made up. That's true. And that's not the issue. That's not the issue that the power brokers address.
Okay.
So, but Charles, I appreciate the call. And I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying about injustice. I agree with all of that.
No, I'm not talking about just injustice. What I'm trying to say is that there are many people that think that these people just take the case just for the money. I think that's going to come. But I think they take it because there's a system that's not
operating. We don't know. But when you have attorneys and again when you have a settlement of $27 million, that's one case, and these cases do have a lot of serious money involved. Attorneys can easily take up to 50% for one case. That's a lot of money, and that attracts a lot of attention. But I agree with you. They sincerely believe in what they're doing, and it is an injustice. It's just that conveniently it doesn't benefit them and their image to address other issues. And that's my only point. And Charles, I have to move on, but I do appreciate the call. Let's go to Justin in Gentilly, and then we're going to come back with some of your text messages. Justin, welcome to the show. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Scoot. I have a Mother's Day story about my mom.
Okay.
And happy Mother's Day to everybody out there who's a mom. Anyway, I must have been 8 years old. Well, this is like 3 days before Christmas, and I was the only one in the house with my mom. My dad had my other siblings out of the house, and my mom says, oh, my gosh, I can shop for Christmas presents. So I got dressed. We drove down to Canal Street to the Sears building. You remember the Sears building? Well, she pulls my hand up to the third floor, and she drops me off this table full of toys, and she disappears in a bunch of clothes. And what she was doing was buying a dress for my sister. Well, I'm sitting at the table, and there's this little robot, battery-operated. I turn it on, and the head came off, and there was a dinosaur head. I said, oh, my God, I loved it. Well, all of a sudden, my mom grabs my hand. We go check out, and 3 days later, under the Christmas tree, Scoot, was the robot. And it took me years to figure out how that got there.
You see, moms are paying more attention than we think sometimes.
Absolutely. Well, look. Have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day to everybody, and take care of it.
All right. All right, if you're on hold, hang on, and we're going to come back with Ian Hoke and some of your text messages. Some songs are just really obvious Mother's Day songs. And here's a song, and I was thinking about the lyrics of this song, and I think this song is really, it's a very good Mother's Day song. So listen to the lyrics, and let's apply this to Mother's Day weekend. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back. Happy Mother's Day to all of you who are mothers. And don't forget the unlikely people who play the role of mother in your life. Don't forget about them as well. It's a classic from Boys to Men. Here's an update on our WWL opinion poll, which is on our website at WWL.com, so you can go there and vote. What is the best community to live in? 28% say downtown, 29% say rural, 43% say suburbs, and the other option is virtual. the virtual community. See, that's kind of a good community to live in if you think about it. You know, there's no trash. There's no crime. Anyway, you can give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. All right, let's go to Slim, who is in New Orleans. Hey, Slim, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How you doing? I'm doing fine.
I'm good. Is your mom in your life, Slim?
Yes. Yes.
You doing something with mom on Mother's Day?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Your mom's good to you?
Yeah, she good to me. Yeah, she good to me.
That's good. I'm sure she loves you and takes care of you, Slim.
Mother's Day
Sunday. That's right. Yeah. So you gonna wake up and wish her happy Mother's Day?
Yeah.
You still give your mom a big hug and kiss?
Yeah, I do.
That's good. That's good, Slim.
I watched Channel 4.
You were watching Channel 4?
Yeah, I watched Channel 4.
Yeah, I know you like your Channel 4. There are partners here, you know. All right, so, you know, listen, I know you always want to hear Sheba, so once again, let me play this little part of the interview. This is all I can do today, but I'm going to play the part of the interview that I have with Sheba. You've been wanting me to get her on the air, and she gave you a shout-out, so here's Sheba Turk.
Hey, Slim, thank you so much for the warm welcome, and you wanted me on the show. Here I am, sir.
Okay, so there's Sheba Turk. Calling your name out, Slim. And I appreciate the call. I have to move on, but you have a great weekend, and give your mom a big hug and kiss on Mother's Day.
Okay, all right.
All right, Slim. Thanks for listening to our show. Always happy to have you there. Let's go to our senior studio producer, Ian Hoke, with some of your text messages.
Lots of people are texting me sexy moms right now. Just their names. Nobody's sending me pictures. Thank God. Okay. God forbid they figure out how to send me pictures on this thing someday.
You know, it's not, you know, we're talking about TV moms, not like their mom. Or the mom in the neighborhood.
I don't know. If your mom's like pretty good looking and, you know, you're sending out unsolicited pictures of your mom, I don't know. Wow, I dug myself in a hole here. I'm just going to read some of these if that's all
okay.
Right. Rooney, here's a text that says, Goldie Hawn, maybe not a TV mom, but she is a Hollywood mom.
Oh, yeah.
Goldie Hawn was good looking. Here's Goldie one Hawn. That said, you have anything?
No, I'm writing it down. That's a good one.
Sofia Vergara is on Modern Family.
Oh, yeah. Is she a mom?
Yeah, I think
she's
so.
She's a mom in real life?
Yeah.
That's a sexy mom.
Mary Louise Parker. That was mine. That was the one I was going to suggest. Mary Louise Parker from Weeds, which I went back and watched recently because I really liked it when it came out like in the mid-2000s. Doesn't hold up very well, I thought. It's kind of... I don't know. The pacing of the show is a bit awkward. The writing is...
It was essentially about, like, smoking pot in the suburbs, right?
Yeah. Mary Louise Parker's character, she's widowed at a fairly young age, and to keep her family afloat, she goes into the business of selling marijuana. But, I mean, after, you know, 16 years after the show debuted, I think viewers' relationship with marijuana has really changed. And now it's kind of like, this isn't that edgy anymore. And so the whole premise of the show kind of falls apart. However... Mary Louise Parker is still very good. And
now I first had a little crush on her. She played a minor role in the movie Grand Canyon. She was Kevin Kline's secretary.
Uh-huh.
And there was a scene where it was kind of like this fantasy trip, and she was alone in her bedroom. And I really can't go any further. But anyway, it was just kind of...
And the first time I ever saw Mary Louise Parker, she played the hot mom on... Oh, damn, what's the film? The Client. You remember The Client? It was set in Louisiana. Who's the guy that writes? It's a Grisham book.
John Grisham, yeah.
Yeah. She was the kid's mom in that. She did a great show. I want to go back and watch that movie.
She was, yeah.
Yeah.
Something really subtle about her.
Yeah. She's great. Yeah, she's so chill. I got two more. One, it says Deborah Barone from Everybody Loves Raymond is the sexiest TV mom.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I can see it. And then one more, Felicia Rashad, hot mom. That's Claire Huxtable. Which I was like, Yeah, that's certainly a beautiful, regal, badass woman. I don't know. Hot. I don't know. Hot seems kind of demeaning for Felicia Rashad. Like, you know, it's like
she was like kind of majestic in a way.
Yeah, the way that she carries herself, you kind of feel skeezy being like, yeah, she's really hot. You know, that's all right.
All right. If you want to join us with a comment, it's a Free For All Friday. The Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. So let's see. What else do we have? Who do we have on? Okay, we've got Wanda in Mid-City. Wanda, you're on WWL. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, Scoot.
Are you a mother?
I am not a mother, but okay. I have an amazing mother.
Oh, that's good. And are you gonna be able to see her? Is she in your life?
Oh, absolutely. She'll be 94 in July. I took her to lunch today, and we're going to see her tomorrow and Sunday.
That's awesome, Wanda. That's a blessing.
And I want to vote for my sexiest TV mom ever. She might not be the traditional sexy, but I think Lucille Ball, with her talent and her humor, transcends what sexy really is.
Lucille Ball. You know that she had her sexy moments, but she was so comical, and so much of it was physical slapstick comedy that I really never thought about her as a sexy mom.
Well, if you've seen her in some of her movies, ever go back and watch some of her old black and white movies, she was actually quite a beautiful actress.
Yes. Yes, she was. All right, Wanda,
I
appreciate
the call. And I think current mom is Kara Sedgwick, although her show just got canceled, Call Your Mother.
But yeah, that's Kevin Bacon's wife.
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently, she's worth like billions. Apparently, she's like an heiress.
Yeah, I think actually her roots go back to the Mayflower.
Really? And not the moving company?
No, not the moving company.
The ship.
The Pilgrim.
Well, that was far from the Love Boat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Wanda, listen, I enjoyed the conversation. Glad you're listening. And give your mom a big hug and kiss. And it sounds like you've got a great relationship with her. Just spend as much time as you can with her.
Thank you so much.
All right, Wanda. Let's go to Rob. Rob, you're on WWL. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday, Scoot. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good, good. Hey, I just want to say, I'm going to keep it pretty brief. You know, we tend to agree most times when I listen to you. I just want to say that the black-on-black crime term is a fallacy, and studies have shown that no matter the demographic group, be it white, Asian, black, the majority of killings or crime within that demographic group is committed by someone within that demographic group, basically saying that 80% of crime that are committed against white people are committed by white people. That includes murder. And so the term black-on-black crime is a term that has been used to racialize black crime as opposed to other crime.
And so what you're saying is that
in academic studies, this is in press articles and everything, that term is a fallacy.
Well, it's not a fallacy in that it's a way of describing what's going on. But I understand what you're saying. And so, in other words, it doesn't have anything to do with. And first of all, I don't think skin color has anything to do with being a thug or being a criminal.
That's my point.
But since it's New Orleans and we have a large black population here, that in that demographic, it's going to involve more blacks.
It's
going to
be majority black. Yeah. And you're correct. And that's my point. Since New Orleans is a majority black city, majority of the crime is going to be committed by black people. And say if you're in a majority white city, you know, or 90% white city, 90% of the crime is committed by white people.
Well, I mean, here's the other part of that, though.
I'm not justifying the crime. I want them to stop the crime and the killings and these young cats, you know, carjacking people. They should be prosecuted. I agree with that. But just that whole term is fallacious, and it plays into the racialization of black crime.
I understand the point, Rob. But if you've got a city like Portland, Oregon, that is just overwhelmingly white, you have less crime. Period.
Oh yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you on that. You know, that could be true in Portland, but then you could pick any other small town that may not have any black folks, but they have due to the opioid crisis, you know, all types of things happen. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm just trying to be fair with everybody, you know, because it's not just me. I mean, academics, this is shown in studies. This is shown in newspaper reporting. That term is fallacious, and it has been used to racialize black people's actions more so than anybody else committing crime. And that's my only point, you know. Not saying that you guys are doing that or saying that you are any way, you know, doing it any way or another, but it's just, you know.
Well, I use the term a lot to describe what I'm describing as there's too much criminal activity in the New Orleans area, and the community leaders that address other situations don't address that as aggressively as they address other situations, and I think that's a disservice to the black community.
I disagree with you on that. I mean, those who are addressing it are not in the media don't go and highlight those who are actually in the community trying to address it. You know,
well, I know that there are many that don't. But if you've got a high profile person,
there are people that are concerned about it, such as myself, and think it is a big problem. You know, but I mean, just, you know, and I'm African American, but you know, it's just that term. You know, I mean, and this is not just coming from me. I mean, this is academically validated and journalistically validated that term is a continuation or a perpetuation of criminalizing or making, highlighting.
Well, we could try to sanitize it, and we could try to, Rob. We can try and sanitize it if you want to, and just say that there are too many blacks killing blacks in black neighborhoods. You want to say it that way?
There's just too many crime. There's just too much crime. Well,
you can't dismiss you cannot dismiss.
Why it doesn't have to be too many with blacks? Right. Just say, hey,
Rob,
New Orleans got a crime problem.
Not going to get into it on a Friday. I'm not going
to
get into it on a Friday.
No, I'm
really
not.
I appreciate the point that you're making, but it's a point, and you're trying to, in some ways, sanitize an issue, and this is what happens. It's like just since it is disproportionately involving young black males, there are people who don't want to touch it because they say, well, that's not fair. Well, there's a problem, and the problem needs to be addressed, and we can't keep saying it's not fair, we can't address this, it's everywhere, and then the specific problems that are within that community are not addressed.
I'm glad that you're addressing the crime in New Orleans, man. It needs to be addressed. I wholeheartedly applaud you on doing that, man. I think it needs to be addressed.
Rob, I have to move on, but I do appreciate the call. And call us anytime. And I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, and you give me something to think about. All right, it was on this day in 1968, on a plane from his last gig, he was with a band called Bluesology. He's a keyboard player named Reginald Dwight. And he was looking for a stage name because he was going to go off on a solo career. So he's sitting there on the plane. He's right across from the band horn player, Elton Dean. And the lead singer was Long John Baldry. He asked them if it was okay if he used their names. And that was the moment that Reginald Dwight became known as Elton John. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Mother's Day weekend. Sunday is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. We've got a mother's text-off coming up here in just a moment. We're going to explain that in just a few minutes. I don't have a lot of time here because I went long with our last caller, Rob, and I really enjoyed the conversation with Rob. And I'm happy to look at something from another point of view. And I will certainly look into the idea that the black-on-black crime statement is misleading, and it's not fair. I don't know how you want to phrase it. There are facts that we have to address, and we should be able to address those facts without everybody thinking that it has anything to do with skin color, because your skin color does not make you a criminal. I live in a building downtown, and there are a lot of black Americans who live in my, well, I'm assuming they're Americans, a lot of black residents in this building. And I'm not afraid of them. I don't think that they're intrinsically evil. So it has to do with... It has to do with community. It has to do with a lot of other things. So I don't want to get into that today, but I do appreciate Rob's call. Let's go to Irvin in Hammond. Irvin, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot.
Hey.
Just addressing the issues in the city, when I came up in the 50s and 60s in New Orleans, NORD, New Orleans Recreation Department, was such a strong program.
I remember that.
I mean, we came... we came up at Mid-City at St. Patrick's. Some of them over at Jeff Davis and Stallings. And we had some top-notch mentors that really acted as surrogate fathers. So my thought is the city is about to come into a lot of money. And I know there's a lot of places for it to go, but, you know, we talk about juvenile crime. And one of the issues are kids are black, white, or brown during the summer. They're bored. Yeah. If you don't have a program for them, you know, then they're going to start hanging out in the street with whoever, and there's going to be issues. But if we had stronger NORD programs, you know, with schedules and just things to do all the time, that would take away some of the boredom and the leisure time that gives kids of any color too much time to spend.
Irvin, I think it's a really good point, and I hope city leaders hear this, and I hope they pay attention to it because, again, you know, politicians only address the issues that will help them get reelected. And there may be some other projects that will look better on a resume if you're running for reelection or if you're trying to get elected that politicians may address. And that's why I think it's so crucial for pressure to be put on politicians to address the real issue. And I think you bring up a legitimate point because there's going to be so many young people who could go either way. And if there's nothing there for them, they're going to find camaraderie, community, and structure within a gang-type setting over a family setting if they don't have that.
Yeah, and this goes with the socioeconomic system of the city. And yeah. I'm Catholic. I'm a crusader. Most people of means, no matter what color, are going to be going to camps at the different private and Catholic schools.
Yes.
But, you know, these other kids, that their parents don't have the means to pay for them to go off to camp for the summer, again, they're going to have too much time on their hands. So I think it's up to the city, our city leaders, to take care of those kids. And I think if you took care of them with a strong recreational program, you'd see the juvenile crime go down. You know, you'd be able to point back to the fact that we got this program going, and 2 or 3 years out, we see a marginal or substantial decrease in crime.
Irvin, I'm making a note of this, and we're going to bring this topic up again, like really soon on the show, and just find out a little bit more about where that money is earmarked for. Because if it's not, it should be dedicated to doing a lot for distracting young people. So it's a really good point. Irvin, have a great weekend. Let's go to Bill in New Orleans East. Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. I don't have time. Hang on, Bill. Okay, I didn't mean to go to you there. It was a kind of a false start there. I have to get to a break here, but we'll come back and just hang on. We'll get to your call and more of your calls. Coming up next, we're going to have a text off about sexy moms. And I want to mention something that happened on this day. Let me see if I can find it. I know we're running out of time here. It was on this day in, here it is. On this day in 2003, Pete Townsend of The Who was cleared of possessing pornographic images of children. He was found guilty of accessing child pornography in 1999, placed on a National Register of Sex Offenders for 5 years. But there's a story behind this, and that's going to be next week's real story. The backstory behind Pete Townsend of The Who being charged with child pornography. We'll tell you the real story next week. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, let's do the mother of all text-offs. Okay, this is going to be a Mother's Day text-off. And we can continue to talk about sexiest TV moms. But let's bring it down to this. Two completely different genres. Who do you think was a sexier mom? It's going to be Mom A or Mom B. And you need to text that to the Oakland Heart text line, 504-260-1870. Mom A is Samantha from Bewitched. That's Mom A. Mom B is Morticia Adams from the Adams Family. Which mom was sexier? Again, two different genres. We got a soccer mom and we got a goth mom. So who do you think was the sexier of these two moms? And we'll continue the conversation about who do you think was the sexiest mom.
I know who I'm picking.
Who are you picking?
Well, I'm going to vote.
Oh, you're going to vote. Okay.
I'll tell you after the news.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have the result after the news at 3 o'clock. You know, one interesting thing about Bewitch, maybe everybody didn't notice this, but did you know that the Stevens family was Jewish? Yeah, they were a Jewish family. And I knew this because there was a menorah on a little table in the foyer of their house. And as far as I know, that was the only reference. But I'm going, oh, a Jewish family, because they had the menorah right there. All right, so who was the sexier TV mom? Samantha, Bewitched, Morticia, the Addams Family. And the Oakland Heart text line is 504-260-1870. And we'll have the results right after the news at 3 o'clock. Also, Elon Musk is going to host Saturday Night Live. Miley Cyrus is the musical guest. We're going to talk about some of the really great eras of Saturday Night Live. And we'll just run through a few of those. What was your favorite era? And, you know, I mean, if you're a boomer, I know what it was. If you're millennial, Gen X, what was your favorite era for Saturday Night Live? We'll talk about that, and we'll continue Free for All Friday. I'm Scoot on the Air on WWL.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.